The narrative of Lydia's conversion can so easily get lost amongst Paul's other adventures, and also among the many narratives of conversion in the book of Acts. Yet when we look closely, we see a number of outstanding hallmarks regarding this particular conversion. Firstly, Lydia is the first European, properly so called, to come to faith in Christ and the gospel through Paul's preaching. She is the cornerstone of the conversion of Europe to Christ. She is a woman, and she is a woman who has a household, simply mentioned without further comment, which in itself is quite strange for the book of Acts, because usually it is the relationship with a man, whether that man has died or whether that man has left due to divorce, that needs comment. She's not known as a widow. There's no other statement about her belonging to any man, which would have been normal for that society and that time. She is simply accepted as the chief of her household, a remarkable thing in its own right. And then she is in the purple dye trade. Because of her status as a householder, because of the fact that she so easily can offer generosity, we must assume too that she is fairly successful in this business, a business that caters to the elite of pagan priests and the most elite of society, the blue bloods who can wear and are allowed to wear the royal purple without it being an act of sabotage of state or of treason against the emperor. Her customers are people from the highest echelons of society, both in Asia Minor and in Europe. She knows how to mix with the important, and she knows how to be accepted by them, even though she is, if you'll excuse the phrase, merely a woman, and that simply from the point of view of that society for the most part. And this woman, by God's grace, and by being in the right place at the right time to hear Paul's preaching, is the first European convert and the cornerstone of Paul's ministry to the rest of Europe. She not only opens her house at this point, also later on when Paul and Silas have been imprisoned in Philippi and escape when an earthquake hits, she welcomes them to recuperate and recover again in her house, placing herself at the disposal of the great apostle to the Gentiles. This seems to remark on a relationship between Paul and Lydia, which is both deep and profoundly spiritual, that the two nourished each other in a most significant way. And it almost parallels the relationship between Jesus and Mary Magdalene, a relationship of mutual trust, respect, and support, where Mary Magdalene was called to be the cornerstone of the proclamation of the resurrection. Lydia is called to be the cornerstone of the proclamation to Europe. And this gives us some perspective on what might sound as a very depressing gospel today, where Jesus is all doom and gloom and persecution. Yes, there will be the persecutions, and in our own time they are so painfully relevant as we watch the beheading of our Christian brothers in North Africa earlier on this year. Yet surrounding them, surrounding the persecuted, are those of us who live in societies which might be secularizing, but do have an acceptance of faith, do have an acceptance of the gospel. And this allows us, like Lydia, to be the safe place to which the persecuted can turn, to offer the rest and the recuperation needed to those who have gone into exile because of persecution. You see, what surrounds the persecuted are the brothers and sisters who open their houses, who open their homes and their hearts to fellow Christians, to fellow believers, even simply to fellow human beings who suffer. And this is the great calling which overturns all persecution, which overturns hatred of the faith into respect for the community of Christ. So it is not all doom and gloom. While there is faith on earth, there is always a home, a place of comfort for those who have been persecuted, a place where they can find rest. Lydia was that cornerstone in Europe. Let us pray that each of us can be that cornerstone wherever we may be. Amen.